عليكم أهل السنة والجماعة. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. To our esteemed listeners of Radio Al Ansar, we come to you live from our studio in Johannesburg on this beautiful Thursday morning, the 21st of November, corresponding with the 19th of Jamadul Ula, 1446. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين أوفعوا أهداه الذين هم مفاتيح الرحمة ومصابيح الغرر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. وقال تعالى في مقام آخر: ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الدين يسر. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. حضرت مفتي عبد القادر صاحب دامت بركاته، أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا to you on this beautiful Thursday morning. May Allah Ta'ala bless you and Apa with afiyat and good health. Allah Ta'ala accept your khidmat for deen. Allah forgive the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salatu wassalam. Hazrat Mufti Sahab, the platform is yours.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa salim kareem. Ameen, ameen to all the wonderful du'as and supplications. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan and Brother Zakaria. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 19th of Jumad al-Ula, 1446, in Makkah Mukarrama, Madinah Munawwara, Masjid al-Aqsa, Palestine, and more than 90% of the cities, countries, and continents. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Today we focus on chapter 40, Surah Mu'min, Surah Ghafir, and verses number 10 and verse number 11. Almighty Allah Jalla informs us what will unfold on the day of justice, on the day of judgment. Inna alladhina kafaru. Verily those people who are the non-Muslims, they are sane and mature, and they died on any ism besides Islam, and they had no iman, faith, conviction. Yunadona, and they will be called, it will be announced to them. Now they will be cursing one another and cursing themselves, because why? Now they landed up in Jahannam and the hellfire, eternal doom and eternal gloom for them. So Almighty Allah, the angels will announce to them, the malaika angels will also say, لَمَقْتُ أَكْبَرُ مِن مَقْتِكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. The anger and the wrath and the displeasure of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is worse than your displeasure for yourselves. You'll be blaming one another, cursing one another, but the fury, the rage, the anger, Almighty Allah's will be much worse compared to that which you have for one another. Why? Is because to the honor ilal iman, you were invited towards iman. Iman is a criteria. You were invited to that iman to believe in the oneness, uniqueness of Almighty Allah, believe in all the books and divine scriptures, believe in all the prophets and messengers, and more so in Prophet Muhammad Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all the angels and the day of justice, the articles of faith. So is to the owner ilal imani fatakfurun, hence you rejected it. You said that no, you are highly intellectual, academic, and you can think for yourself, and now you made the wrong choice, and now action and reaction, cause and effect. You got nobody to blame but yourself. As Satan Lucifer told you, فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Shaitan will deliver a khutbah, a sermon, khutbatun batra. Batra means he will not praise Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. He will not send salawat, salutations, peace, blessings upon the Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the beginning and tell human being, I only invited you. And you accepted my invitation. You found it irresistible. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Hence, do not blame me, but blame yourself. So what will happen? That you reject it. Now they will admit, قَالُوا they the جَهَنَّمِيِّينَ, those people dispatched to Jahannam and the hellfire, eternal doom and gloom, will say, رَبَّنَا يَا رَبَّنَا, it means, oh our sustainer, nourisher, provider, أَمَتَّنَا اثْنَتَيْنَ, you gave us death twice. Before we were born, we were dead, meaning we are non-existent. And then you gave us death, yea, in this world. And now that is two deaths, you see. So before we were born, and after we reach our age, 20, 50, 100, whatever was destined for us, so then the death came. So that is death twice. وَأَحْيَيْتَنَا اثْنَتَيْنَ, and you gave us life also twice. You gave us life in this world, then we died, and then we woke up again, so you gave us life. Remember, you resurrected us twice. Now we are admitting, confessing, فَاعْتَرَفْنَا بِذُنُوبِنَا, now we confess and we officially now, Ya Allah, concede that it is our sins. We are the real terrorists, we are the real murderers, we are the real war players, and we are the ones who murdered the babies, children in Palestine, and committed kufr and everything else. Everything now they will confess to and will admit, no mitigating circumstances. But alas, it's too late now. فَهَلْ إِلَىٰ خُرُوجٍ مِّن سَبِيلٍ. So what is there, any way out? Is there exit route from this year? We know now we're in a real mess, and there will be eternal doom and gloom. But is there any way that we can get an exit from here? So remember, this dunya, this worldly life is a sojourn, is temporary. How many empires, how many emperors, how many kings, how many crown prince came, haramis came, and where are they? They lived in this world, in the qusur, in their big palaces and castles, and today they in the kubur, they in the graves, and they are going to be dispatched to Jahannam and the hellfire. So that is what Almighty Allah is teaching us. Almighty Allah address me and you, people of Iman, 89 different places in the Noble Quran. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, ay Iman walo. Yet to Ashikana Khitabir, Allah is addressing our rank status. Allah loves us so much. And for the non-Muslims who are sane and mature, Allah addressed them once only. Chapter 66, verse number 7. Ya ayyuha alladhina kafaru, la ta'tadhiru al-yawm. O you who believe, that do not cite any excuses today, the day of justice. No excuses will be entertained and accepted. Innama tujzawna ma kuntum ta'malun. Verily, you will be punished according to your own deeds. So that is the justice system of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. When a person enters Jannah and Paradise, is rahmatan wa fadlan min Allahi Jalla wa Ala. It is the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. And when a person enters Jahannam and the Hellfire, it is adlam min Allah, the justice system of Almighty Allah. So see, ya fa'atarafna bidunubi. We confess to our vices, our sins, our kufr, our blasphemy, our shirk, and our idol worship, and then remember their nifaq and hypocrisy. Everything they will admit and confess to, but alas, it's too late. So may Almighty Allah give us tawfiq. We always, tawfiq means Allah give us a divine guidance. Wa ma tawfiqi illa billah. That we always pray to Almighty Allah. We live with Iman and die and pass away with Iman and Islam. That is the ultimate success and the passport to everlasting prosperity, happiness and joy. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Today is the 19th of Jumad al-Ula, 1446. Gaza genocide today is 412. And day in Russia, Ukraine, day number 1001. Can you believe that? We present to you the news, views, interviews, locally, nationally, internationally, and globally. 10 jutlas dispatched to Jahannam and the Hellfire in various parts, some in Lebanon, some in Gaza, some somewhere else. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We're very happy about that. And many others injured and dispatched to Jahannam. Listen to what the Haaretz newspaper says. Obviously, these are lies. Now, officially, Israel is telling the world that now 800 soldiers, people in uniform, have been dispatched to hell and died in this conflict. They missed out 10. It was supposed to be 8,000 plus minus, but now they lie to people and say 800. So many of their people have died and they don't know what to do because Allah ki lati be awaze. The resistance, Hamas, Hezbollah, are getting stronger, and they, the Haramis, are getting weaker and weaker. Every day, O Muslim, O people of justice, read two rakat salat and say, Ya Allah, decimate and destroy America and destroy Israel. They are the biggest terrorists on this earth. Look at what America did. Yesterday, United States of America vetoed the ceasefire for the fourth time. 14 countries said, we want the immediate ceasefire. And no abstentions. Everyone voted in favor. But America, the big harami, the biggest terrorist on earth, they said no. And let me make one thing clear. Whether it is Biden or whether it's Trump, whether it's Democrats or whether Republicans, both our enemies and both the enemies of Palestine and both the enemies of Muslims and humanity. So therefore, inshallah, ajilan ghayra ajil, inshallah, Allah, very, very soon, Allah will decimate and destroy America and Israel and all those Arab puppet regimes and tinpot dictators. So we should make dua. The whole world is seeing who the real terrorists are and so forth. And they're saying that we are trying for a ceasefire. fire, and then they give more arms, more money, and they lost billions and billions of dollars in Ukraine and in Palestine. Alhamdulillah, they're trying to bribe up our people. Bibi Netanyahu says that he'll offer $5 million to any Palestinians who show and bring one hostage. The Palestinians told him, "You Netanyahu, Netanyahu, you harami, you war criminal, you butcher of Gaza, go to hell. We will not show you one war hostage. We want, remember, to detour. We want to destroy Israel, and we want the entire historic Palestine back." So that is what the true Muslim stands up for. Now Israel say Gaza is finished. Now their politicians say, and the Americans will say the same thing. In front of the public, they'll say something else. To the Jutlas, they'll tell them, fine. And Israel wants to annex the West Bank now. They must the crooks and must the terrorists, remember that. Occupation is terrorism, remember that. So the European Jews are experiencing anti-Semitism every day on a scale they did not experience for the past 70 years. So what the hell you think? You go and help Israel, you give them support and so forth. So the people will definitely tell you that you are a murderer of babies and killers. You Jutlas, you haramis, you are the murderers of prophets and messengers. Who murdered Zacharias, peace be upon him? Who murdered John the Baptist, peace be upon him? No one else. And remember, but you Jews, you tried to even assassinate Jesus, peace be upon him. You tried to assassinate Prophet Muhammad, Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Biden, the harami Joe, genocide sleepy Joe, the worst president in the history of America, is trying to spare Ukraine a humiliating defeat. We support Putin. When I say we like Putin, on this issue we like Putin. He's taking on America, he's taking on Europe, and he's taking on Israel, and says we ready for you. You want the war? We have our nuclear, our submarines, everything ready. We know that what Putin did in Chechnya. We know what he did in Syria. But on this score, yeah, against the Americans and against all these people, yeah. So we must remember, we must support him, because he is teaching them a big lesson. Jazeera journalists injured as Israel attacks, remember, there in Gaza. And that is their job, to murder and kill the journalists and injure them. They don't want the news to go out. This is the first time in human history a genocide taking place, and the people who are being martyred and murdered themselves are sending out the news whilst they are being martyred and murdered. Well, Allah have mercy on our Palestine children, babies, men, women, and the entire people of Palestine in the world who are impacted by America, Israel, and the super terrorists. May Almighty Allah decimate and destroy all of them. Pakistan to attack Balochistan separatists. This is another ploy and plan of the West. If you know the whole India, old India, Hind was India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and all these countries together. So now they carved them out. That was in 47. And then the partition took place. This is India, then Pakistan. Then in 71, you find another partition took place. This side is Pakistan, and that side is Bangladesh. Now they want to carve Pakistan out more and more, and they want Balochistan must go separate. So Pakistan army politician says, no, we will not allow that. So remember that Saudi Arabia wants to bribe the whole world with their billion dollars, but the soccer players, the male and female, say no ways that Saudi Arabia can host the World Cup for men or the for women, because their track record, human rights, is horrible, terrible. This year alone, 2024, they executed more than 100 people, and there's no human rights there. You just send one tweet, one X message against MBS, the harami, the murtad bin shaitan, and then you'll be arrested, and so many other things will happen to you. So many people languishing in jail. Yesterday, a person who had nothing to do, so a Syrian scholar, and then they released him, a great, great scholar on hadith. So this is what happens in Saudi Arabia. What are they teaching their children there and students in the Saudi schools? Now they are gearing them up. They're gearing them up, you see, for the F1, Formula 1. You know, Formula 1, they play with the gears and so forth. So you say they're gearing them up, you must remember. So that is what they want to teach them. You must forget Islam. As far as the Saudi regime, Kuffar regime, Murtad regime is concerned, Islam is no more important. We must have the prostitutes. We must have the lesbians. We must make a mockery of the Kaaba. We must make a mockery of Islam. That is our progress. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allah's curse be upon all of them. The BJP of India, Modi's party. Modi is a pakka terrorist for us Muslims and the people who are there in India and their policy. You know what they tell the Muslims? Jao, jao, Pakistan. Jao, jao, Kabristan. Either you go to Pakistan or you go to Kabristan, to graveyard, or otherwise you join us and become a Hindu. So the BJP and their politicians are calling the Muslims of India, Bangladeshis. They say, you are not Indians, now you are Bangladeshis. This is a derogatory term. They forgot what the Muslims did for the independence. They conveniently forget that Muslims ruled India for 7 centuries approximately, and all that they feel that they can wipe out the contribution of the Muslims, but that they can try, but they will never succeed. Almighty Allah will humiliate them. Listen to American news. What a mockery of justice and a travesty of justice. You know that Trump was guilty of 34 charges, felony charges, serious crimes. And now this week here, they're supposed to be sentencing him. So now the prosecutors say they're in America because he is the president-elect. So the prosecutors say that they will delay the sentencing of Trump till his term is finished. So 2025 he will be the president, 2 months time, and then in 2029, because they have 4 years term, then they will prosecute him. I'm asking you, is that not a mockery of justice? Is that not a travesty of justice? And you think that America is very great. America is the biggest terrorist and the biggest harami. Remember this. Go and study how many countries they invaded in the past 50, 60 years, then you will understand all the harm they caused to humanity and so forth. A death penalty for a lady in Thailand for killing 14 of her friends. Can you believe? She said, you are my friends, one by one. She killed 14 of them, and now they gave her the death penalty. She might be executed already or will be executed. Come to South Africa. Viva South Africa. So they said South Africa is a banana republic. So the hijackers, they made off with the coffin. Never mind, took the car away, they take the coffin also away. So even the dead cannot rest in peace, as they say. So you must remember, you know, in our Muslim graveyards, how they steal the boards and everything else. So now they steal a coffin also. So that is South Africa. No law and order, banana republic. But South Africa is very excited. South Africa will host the G20 summit next year, 2025. Trump and company will be coming here, the haramis, the first African country in history to host the G20. So South Africa says, look at how much progress we are doing. Come, I show you what they did. The Jutlas and Discovery, they hosted, you must remember, a summit day in Cape Town Nelson Hotel, and a lady came and swore them, rightly so, that you are the people that you supporting Israel, majority of you and Israel, the war criminals guilty of genocide, ethnic cleansing, have destroyed every hospital there in Gaza, and today you want to speak about health and so forth. So well done to that lady. Sele Kele, the minister previously, who was dumped unceremoniously. So he says he's not afraid of anybody. People are threatening him and so forth. Do you know what happened yesterday? Make dua. Today, tomorrow, whenever, this week, next week, you have a flight. So Sef Air, three different flights of Sef Air. They flew from Johannesburg or wherever to East London. And all three flights could not land in East London Airport. So the passengers were livid, and are livid, remember that. How the hell can this happen? When you take off, you know what's happening, and now you come back to Johannesburg, or you land some other airport and so forth. So who is responsible for all this? So come on, Sef Air, you guys can do better. And I think that you, the passengers, should sue them. Make a class action against them, and we must never allow these people to trample upon us when we have paid and they give us lousy substandard service. That's what I believe in. So when they make us a fool, then we can't just accept it and walk away. There must be some compensation. So that is what is my suggestion. Mona Salim Kareem, you are very busy today, inshallah, between 8:30 and 9. So will be your interview with Mona Zahid Khan also. Barakallahu feek for spending, giving us so much time. Allah Jalla Wala reward you and reward Appa as well. And inshallah, 11 to 12, in our fiqh lesson, we have started our series on the Shiaism. So we finished two parts. Today will be part 3, and then between 1 and 2 will be the tafsir and commentary of the Noble Quran, insha'Allahul Aziz. Tonight, read abundant Durood Sharif, salawat upon Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and read Surah Kahf. Man qara'a Surah Al-Kahf Laylat Al-Jumu'ah adaa'a lahu min an-nur ma baynahu wa bayn al-bayt al-atiq. Whosoever recites Surah Kahf tonight, after Maghrib, after Isha, any time, Allah Jalla Wala will bless him with nur, radiance and effulgence from wherever he or she is, right till the Baytullah, the Kaaba Musharrafa. His authentic hadith mentioned in Sunan Ad-Darimi. So therefore, we should try our level best to practice on these ahadith. Ji Maulana, we ready for you. Let's fire up with the Q&A, inshallah.
Mufti Saab, if you are a musafir on a long journey and there's no way to stop, like on the motorway, can we read our salah in the car?
Remember, that's a very, very weak excuse. So let's say you want to go to toilet or something, what you will do? You will mess yourself in the car. So remember, people only look for excuses for salat and so forth. Let's say that you don't know, run out of petrol or something. You know the light is on. You only got 100 kilos left, 50 kilos left. So you will take a turn somewhere and detour and go fill up some petrol and so forth. So if you do what you are suggesting, and that is that you read your first salat in the car, so your salat will not be valid, because standing is compulsory, and remember, you will have to repeat your salat. But remember that the suggestion of yours that the motorway you can't stop. So I'm posing this question to you. What happens if you have to relieve yourself? What happens if your petrol, diesel is going low? You will look for some alternative. So salat is much more important than that. The problem with us is we undermine the importance of salat. I give you one easy example that will resonate with you. From South Africa, thousands thousands of people will go for Umrah, will go overseas here and there. Now during the holidays, December, January, millions of people from the world will be going to the Haramain Sharifain. For what? For Umrah. Umrah most to most is Sunnah. Majority of them in the plane will not read Salat. So what good is that Umrah of yours? 5 daily Salat is compulsory. That you did not read. You say, yeah, I'll make Qaza in Jeddah, Makkah, Medina, Munawwara, and so forth. And you miss your first Salat for a Sunnah. Now you tell me, what intelligence is that? So therefore, people like that, instead of getting reward, are cursed by Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. May Almighty Allah give us tawfiq to understand our deen of Islam properly and get our priorities right.
Mufti Sahab, I'm doing my work from the Jamiat. It makes provision for monetary compensation for Miss Salah. Is this authentic?
Remember, nowhere in the Quran Sharif, nowhere in the authentic Ahadith, Sunnah Mubarakah, is it mentioned that there is compensation for Salat. If a person missed his or her Salat, then deliberately, intentionally, the Hanbali school says they murtad out of the fall of Islam and the apostates and so forth. And the Shafi'is, Maliki's fatwa is this: when people miss their Salat, then there is capital punishment and the death penalty. So the question of payment compensation does not come. It's only the Hanafi school who promote this, and they say when you are drawing up your will, you first have your burial, funeral expenses, you have the debts of the deceased, personal debts, corporate debts, business debts, all that must be paid to the creditors, and wasiyah. One wasiyah is you bequeath for your adopted children, you bequeath for your neighbor, Muslim or non-Muslim, because they were always there to help you and so forth. So that type of wasiyah is mustahab, is good, recommended, meritorious. One type of wasiyah is wajib. You did not perform hajj, so now, but you have the means and you were fell sick then or whatever happened, so now you left 200, quarter million, whatever. So now the people have to perform your hajj, hajj badal, and it must not exceed 1/3 of your total estate and so forth. Now regarding Salat, the Hanafi's dalil and evidence is this: everybody agrees that if Siyam, a person missed out Saum and Ramadan fasting, and for some reason that person did not keep the Qadha, so he must make wasiyah and bequeath that a certain amount must be paid. Let's just say, for example, 33 rand. I'm just making it easy, right? So now in a case like that, so now for 10 fasts, you will say 330 rand. So for the whole month, 1,000 rand plus minus. So that is how that you have to pay that amount for the person who missed the fast of Ramadan the entire month. So Hanafi's ijtihad and thinking and analogy is this: Salat is more important than Siyam. Namaz is more important than fasting. So therefore, there is a payment for every Salat as well. So you will say 33 rand, 35 rand, 40 rand, and you multiply it times, not 5, but times 6 Salat, the 5 daily Salat and the Witr Salat. So let's say now 40 rand, and then you multiply it times 6, so 240 rand per day you will have to pay. I'm just giving round amounts so that it makes it easy for you, and that amount must be paid and given to poor Muslims only. But there's no dalil, evidence from Quran Sharif or Sunnah Mubarakah. It is analogy, qiyas, which the Hanafis used, and they said Salat is more important than Siyam, and that's how they reached that conclusion. But majority scholars don't accept it, so we need to understand the fiqh of all this properly.
Mufti Sahab, can you read Salah with boxer shorts above the knees and you have a kurta over the shorts?
I'm asking you, today you have a meeting with a non-Muslim president, with a non-Muslim president, king, prime minister. How will you go? You will wear your best clothes. You will look at yourself in the mirror 10 times. Do I look respectable, presentable, and so forth and so on? And Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us in the Noble Quran, Chapter 7, Surah Araf, and verse number 31. Chapter 7, verse 31. Ya Bani Adam, khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. Oh, you children of Nabi Adam alayhi salam, men, women, boys, girls, all. So when you go for your salat, khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. When you go for your salat, take your beauty with you. Yeah, you come with your boxer shorts. Yeah, you come with your shorty pajamas. And then you just wear a long kurta and you read salat. Your salat is null and void. There is kashful aura. That, remember, innal fakhida auratun. Authentic hadith. Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith. In Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmed, the thighs are part of the aura, that which must be covered compulsory and is mandatory. So therefore the men now in summer, it's very hot, they come with funny clothes there. So you against the Quran Sharif, chapter 7, verse number 31, we're standing in front of the King of Kings, and therefore we must dress respectfully and not come there with funny clothes. That our backside is exposed. You see how many people, they go into sujood and in sajda, and at the back you standing, you can see the crack and all that. How do you read salat like that? It's haram for you to read like that. And you have to repeat your salat. You come there and your thighs and everything are exposed, and you just wear one kurta or something which is transparent. So remember, in all these cases, one, the person is a sinner. Two, he's desecrating the sanctity of salat. Three, he's desecrating the sanctity of the masjid. Four, maybe he thinks he will get away with it. Be very careful. This could land you in serious trouble if you are mocking the salat and playing fools and so forth. So we must take all these issues very, very serious. Islam is a serious business. The most serious aspect of our life, to love Iman and Islam and to die with it, not to come there and be a part-timer and so forth. Islam has no place for such people.
Mufti Sahab, is it allowed to put your dog down when it is sick and to get it cremated?
Here is a three-part question. Question number one is, does human beings, Muslim or non-Muslim, but primarily we are worried about the Muslims in these issues, can a Muslim go and say, I want mercy killing, euthanasia? So in Islam, for human beings, is totally haram. For Muslim and non-Muslim, if they are living in a Muslim country, so euthanasia, mercy killing for human beings, totally haram and not permissible. Someone is critically ill, so read the dua and supplication. Allahumma in kanatil hayatu khayran lahu fa ahyihi. Ya Allah, if life is better, give life to this person. Wa in kanatil wafatu khayran lahu. Ya Allah, if death is better for this person, then give this person death. The hadith is mentioned in Mishkat Sharif. But in animals, to put them down, to put them to sleep, all that will be permissible. You can sterilize the animals, your dogs and your cats and what have you. So all that permissible, to sterilize them. They're so ill, you put them to sleep. Mercy killing, euthanasia, call it whatever you want to. For animals, totally permissible. Sterilization, euthanasia for human beings, all haram and not permissible. That's one issue. Second issue, to cremate a human being or cremate an animal, all that absolutely haram. Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La tu'adhib bin nar. No one can punish with the fire. Only Almighty Allah punishes with the fire. And that Almighty Allah dispatches the people to Jahannam and the hellfire. Last night I was there by Hazrat Mufti Rizal Haqsab, our Honorable Ustad, and the hadith he was teaching was about Jannah and Jahannam. So wonderful discussions there as well for us to learn, but no time to go into that now. So Allah Ta'ala grant all our asatiza siha afia, good health, and those who passed away, Allah grant them Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. We're speaking of those who passed away with Iman and Islam, obviously. You know, we had so many non-Muslim teachers in school as well. So therefore, we have to qualify that as well. So to cremate for us as Muslims, totally haram. And whether it's human beings or whether it's animals, and in Islam, everything is based on compassion and mercy. Inna Allah ala kulli shayin, authentic hadith in Abu Dawood, Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad. Verily Allah has, Almighty Allah has prescribed and ordained that there must be compassion and mercy in everything. Therefore, that cremating human being, cremating animals in Islam, totally, absolutely haram and unlawful, not permissible.
Mufti Sahib, 2 minutes after midnight, I read my witr. Can I read my tahajjud after I read my witr?
What you are asking, my brother, sister, is permissible, but not recommended, desirable. The sequence you did it is wrong. What do I mean by that? You must study Siratul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the life history of the Master alayhi salam, and then you must learn fiqh sirah, how to deduce the masail and the laws from the sirah mubarakah tayyibah, the pure life of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the Isha Salat, read the Sunnah, read the 2 rakat nafil sometimes, and so forth and so on. And then normally the Master alayhi salam would sleep as early as possible if there's no other duties to carry out, and wake up in the early part of the morning, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, depending on the season and so forth. Then read 8 rakats of the Tahajjud. 2, 2, 2, 2, remember that. And then read the witr, authentic hadith in Muslim Sharif, Mishkat Sharif, ij'alu akhira salatikum billayli witra. Make your witr salat the last salat at night. So what you did, my brother, sister, 5 past 12, half past 12, 12:15, you read your witr salat, then read tahajjud. Permissible? Yes. Desirable? No. You should have done it the other way round. That first you should read your tahajjud, whether it's 2 rakats, whether it's 4, whether it's 6, whether it's 8, all in 2s, salatul layli masna masna, the hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, and then read your witr. According to majority scholars, remember, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the witr salat, did not read any salat. Ahyanan, maybe 3, 4, 5 times. Then Nabi alayhi salatu salam read the 2 rakat salat just to show bayanil jawaz. It is permissible but not desirable in that sense. It was not the habit mubarakah every night to read the 2 rakats after witr. So once in a while, occasionally only, the Master alayhi salatu salam did this. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, Hafizud Dunya, Sheikh Albani rahimahullah used to say, lam yulad mithlahu ba'dahu, you will never ever find another Ibn Hajar in this world as far as hadith go, and it's true. So he wrote the whole book on this, Ayrakatain Ba'd al-Witri, which I have, mashallah. So you must study all these things here. So you must try and read first your tahajjud and then your witr. So that is the proper sunnah nabawiyah, and we must imitate the Master alayhi salatu salam immaculately. That should be our aim and objective in life. Two more questions, Mulana.
Mufti Sahib, is my wuzu valid without niyat, and can I read salah with it?
Remember, according to the Shafi'is, Hanbalis, and them, you must make niyat before you perform your wudu. Niyat don't mean what we learned in madrasa. We had madrasa in the 60s. Monday to Friday was theory. Saturday was all the practical. So now the ustadji, the ustad would come on, read now the niyat for wudu. So we all used to read. These kind of things, they drummed it in our heads, you know. Atawadda'u li raf'il hadas. We never even knew the meaning. And for salat, they used to teach us such a long niyat, you know, that what they used to say, nawaitu an usalliya rak'ataini khalfa hadhal imam mutawajjihan ila jihatil ka'bati sharifa. Allahu Akbar. Like that. By the time you read your niyat, what rakat will be finished almost. So sometimes you must remember that. So all this is not sunnah. Remember this, to say the niyat. It's permissible, but not sunnah to say it. Niyat means what you have in your heart. So that is compulsory, according to Shafi'is and Hanbalis and so forth. Hanafis say niyat, intention before wudu, is sunnah but not compulsory. So if you are following the Hanafi school, your wudu will be valid, your salat will be valid, if you made no intention for performing wudu. And according to Shafi'is and Hanbalis and majority scholars, so your wudu will be null and void, and your salat will also be null and void. So therefore we should understand things properly.
Mufti Sahib, if you perform Umrah, does Hajj become farz on you?
That is Qawlul Jahala. Remember that only people who are ignorant of Sharia will make statement like that. Now we're in the month of Jumad al-Ula, then Jumad al-Akhirah, then Rajab, Shaban, Ramadan. Millions of people will go for Umrah. Alhamdulillah, Allah Jalla Wala protect the Haramain Sharifain. Allah protect Masjidul Aqsa. Allah protect all our masajid throughout the world. But to say because you perform Umrah, Hajj is compulsory, there's no such thing. Today Hajj is one big problem. You got a quota system, and this is the Haramis, the Saudis, MBS, the Murtad bin Shaitan. And remember that you got all these crazy laws that you must wait for 1 year, 5 years. People telling me they're waiting for 7 years. Still their name did not come by Sawhook and so forth. So therefore to say that you perform Umrah, Hajj is compulsory, totally incorrect. And once again, that I just thought of it now, we're still waiting for the ulama of South Africa. When are you going to issue a statement against MBS, the Murtad bin Shaitan? There's no doubt what happened in Riyadh is 100% kufr and shirk. What has happened to you, Salafi scholars? What has happened to you, this ulama organization, this ulama? Previously, you were very sharp to take out verdicts and so forth. Suddenly, you summum bukmun umyun. How come Tariq Jamil is coming? You can't speak one word. For what? Are we frightened for our sponsors? Are we want the people must become Shias or sympathizers to Shias? An absolute disgrace it is, remember that. Wallahu al-muwaffiq. Allah give us tawfiq to practice on the truth according to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, without fear and favor. Ameen. Salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.